Hello and welcome to One Inch Past Gary podcast. This is Kirsty Sayer. Hopefully this episode sees the light of day. I've had two recorded episodes since the last one that was published 2 weeks ago. One of which I didn't get to publish because of technical difficulties. That was with my sister Thalia Randall, and we were talking about motherhood from the perspective of two sisters living on the opposite sides of the world. She's in South Africa, and she is raising a really young little family. She has a newborn and a toddler and a preschooler. And her oldest child was actually born 16 years to the day after my oldest child. And so we were just discussing motherhood from our two different perspectives. And I loved that conversation. It was hilarious, I thought. And I thought we had some really valuable and helpful insights between us. But she sounded crystal clear and I sounded like I was on the moon in a tin can. And so it just really wasn't salvageable, sadly. I was really sad about that. I was trying to use my AirPods as a mic, and I've put them through the washer a couple too many times for that to work out well. So hopefully when she gets over the flu while taking care of an infant and toddlers, please send her your love and strength, because that's the most miserable thing. We'll be able to re-record. After which I then had an interview or a conversation with my husband, Aaron, over Valentine's weekend, because we realized it was our 25th Valentine's together and it will be our 25th wedding anniversary coming up in May. And that was a really good conversation, but I realized how deeply triggering it was, because we kind of went into all the things that were really hard in our marriage. We talked about, you know, just how we got together, how difficult things were with PTSD and all sorts of like other things that just brought up a lot of emotion. And I, by the end of it, felt exhausted. And it's actually taken me a couple of days to recover from just all the things that it stirred up. And it wasn't really the direction I wanted to go in. So I'll save that one for posterity and for ourselves. It was a really good conversation and I'm glad to have it. But it's, you know, in retrospect, not one that I really want to put out there, at least not now. I found that it was unexpectedly triggering. And so I'm just going to let that one sit. And we will have another conversation as soon as Aaron has another decent pocket of time. Which is a little lighter, and I look forward to that. So here we sit, and I don't have an episode. I realized that for 2 weeks there's not been anything new, and thought about that, and I really do believe that things just work out, you know, the way they should. And I thought a lot about what I wanted to talk about today, and I saw something by Abraham Hicks. And I don't even want to paraphrase it, but unfortunately, I also don't want to scrabble around on my phone too much. So if it comes up immediately, I will let me look in my photos. If I see it right away, I will tell you exactly what it says. And if I don't, I will have to paraphrase it. But what she said is, I'm going to give it two more swipes and then just paraphrase. She said, what you have to do, there it is. Nope, that's not it. Okay. Ah, there it is. The best you can do for anyone is to thrive fully and be willing to explain to anyone who asks how it is that you are thriving and what it is that you've discovered, and then just relax and trust it all truly as well. And that is Abraham Hicks. Okay, so this week it's ironic that I should, you know, say that I should bring up that quote, because this week I have not been thriving at all. I have not felt that I've been thriving. In fact, I spent the better part of 2 days just sleeping, which is my PTSD go-to, and I just kind of like went there. I'm doing a lot better today, and I'm really happy about that. And I guess I just feel like I want to tell you the things that have been keeping me up until this week thriving. And the reason I believe I'm not thriving is I didn't do those things. Isn't that interesting this week? So it's interesting to me that sometimes I will have these setbacks. And I've become increasingly less impatient with them and less upset by them and less saddened by them. I just try to see what they can teach me. And this time it's taught me a couple of different things, a variety of things actually, which I really am very grateful for. And so I might want to just accept that setbacks are just going to be a part of my life forever and really kind of take what I can get from them and then share them with others, which I do believe is my calling. Okay, so one of the things I have mentioned before is the importance of meditation to me in staying stable, staying grounded, staying free from any really major setbacks in terms of PTSD. I have to say that there is a distinct pattern in me abandoning that or like neglecting the discipline. I have not had any relationship meltdowns on days that I have meditated, and that is a fact. And when things start to go off the rails in a big way is when I skip it. So I think that speaks for itself. Meditation has been used for thousands and thousands of years in so many different ways. And I have seen a very distinct pattern in my life. It's not something that I really have the luxury of doing or not doing. I really just need to do it unless I want to take some time off in bed, frankly, which is a luxury in and of itself to be able to do that. I'm very grateful for that. Okay, so meditation is key. I've also been using the Wim Hof breathing method. And that's something that I want to talk about, that if something comes to you kind of from different messengers over a period of time, pay attention to that. I first became aware of that breathing method, or that at least that man and his kind of philosophy last summer when a young friend of mine ran a marathon without training, and he did very successfully, and he told me about the Wim Hof breathing method, and I got his book, listened a little bit, but really didn't buy in. But I did buy into cold exposure and contrast showers, and I did that for since last winter to really kind of make the cold less of a hardship on myself, and just found in the process of doing that that I was finding that it could interrupt a spiral very effectively to have a cold shower, which makes a lot of sense. So I was really kind of interested in the psychological and physical benefits of cold exposure and especially contrast showers. And so that part I did buy in, but I didn't buy in, or I wasn't even fully aware of the breathing technique. And so I watched a documentary, and I think a lot of people have been sort of really curious and intrigued by Gwyneth Paltrow for different reasons. I think she tends to be a bit of a punchline, but the woman is highly successful and really doesn't let anybody's opinion of her bother her very much, it seems, which is great. So I am neither here nor there when it comes to Gwyneth Paltrow and, you know, her elitism and some of the things that she does, which is not really medically sound and proven or whatever. I just don't care. I'm like, whatever, let Gwyneth be. We've got way bigger fish to fry in our lives. But I did happen to see a couple of episodes of her Goop Laboratory. And interestingly enough, Wim Hof was featured on. And I said to my husband, I know this guy. I've been doing the cold showers because of him. somewhat because of him, somewhat because of another yogi that I follow called Adele Bridges, who does contrast showers. So we watched with some interest, and we saw how he used breathing techniques and cold exposure to help somebody with severe anxiety disorder. And then he also talked about how his wife had committed suicide when their children were very young, and how he had used breathing techniques and cold exposure to overcome his own despair and mental health issues, which was really inspiring. The next day, I overheard some friends doing a polar plunge, which I had been really intrigued by within the last 48 hours, and I invited myself to do it with them, and then forgot that I actually had a coaching call. I had made an appointment to coach somebody during the exact time that they were going to do it, so I invited myself for the following week, and in the interim, I really got into the breathing technique. And I have to say that the breathing technique is very fascinating. As somebody who's asthmatic and was since childhood, the idea of almost hyperventilating was kind of foreign to me, and holding your breath and all that stuff. But I found it really, really helpful in managing stress, anxiety, and PTSD triggers. And so I really would recommend it. During the time in that sort of week, I had my birthday, which is typically very triggering for me. And frankly, everything that is triggering about my birthday happened. Circumstances did not change. And there's just a bunch of them that I don't even want to go into, but the circumstances surrounding my birthday tend to be similar from year to year to year. And it just unfolded hilariously, predictably. And I found myself kind of sliding down into Trigger City, and then using the Wim Hof breathing and framing everything, and my birthday unfolding into a wonderful day where for the first time I felt completely different. I felt exactly the way I've always wanted to feel, and that is nothing, you know, just grateful for whatever the day brought, even if it brought nothing at all remarkable. In fact, I actively wanted the day to not feel remarkable in any way, and it felt so peaceful and calm and just at ease. And it was just lovely. I finally just felt so grown up in the most wonderful way, in the most peaceful, calm, arrived way. Just like, this is how I always imagined being at peace with myself and being grown up would feel. And that is a feeling that, you know, maybe a lot of you feel and have felt for a long time if you're 44. But somebody who struggles with PTSD and struggles with the arrested development that accompanies, that sometimes accompanies that, really severe childhood trauma, and somebody whose inner child is not being well taken care of, really desperately desires that feeling. And I have to say that my birthday ended up feeling exactly that way, just that calm, arrived, held adult feeling, and I cherish it. And so those are the things that have been helping me thrive. The breathing, the meditation, and then that following Sunday, I was able to go into the river. It was a 33 degree day. It was snowing. I walked through snow, a snowy banked river with ice and everything, and submerged in cold water, fully submerged, went under the water twice for almost 3 minutes. I could have done it for longer. I was perfectly happy in doing it for longer. In fact, my breathing really created a sense of calm and very peaceful feeling, but I recognized that I wasn't aware of exactly how safe it was, and I certainly knew that nobody was, you know, watching out for me specifically. And so I did not know what the signs of hypothermia or frostbite were. And so I did kind of reluctantly come out at around 3 minutes. And my husband, you know, was out there filming and was super encouraging, as he always is. He's my greatest cheerleader. And he was like, "Do you feel like such a badass?" And I said, "No, that is not how I would characterize feeling. I just feel so peaceful and grateful that I know I'm starting to learn methods of finding so much more power in my mind and my body than I was aware of. And it just is such a gift. I feel so grateful." And I would like to think that that's kind of, you know, the ego making way a little bit, you know, the ego becoming ever so slightly less loud and less in charge, because the ego is just really hard to live with, and mine is so loud. And so that just felt like thriving as well. Just, you know, no, I don't feel like, yeah, I overcame this, I'm such a badass. I just felt a sense of wonder and joy and gratitude that, more and more ways are being revealed that I can overcome, get out of my own way. So that was something I wanted to talk about, and something that I want to continue to do. And I have to say that we did several more. My little partner in this is Finney, my son Jonathan. And we did several more cold exposure experiences that week. We went out in the snow. I stood in the snow in bare feet, and we lay in the snow and covered ourselves up with snow. We went in running in cold weather, and we really did find that our moods and our sort of sense of courage and capability were enhanced, which is something I really struggle with seeing myself as a capable person. I really, really struggle with that. And I think he really commented on how he felt really empowered to change his mindset. And he found that it was very mood boosting for him. So those are things I really wanted to share with you, and I'm glad that I have the opportunity to do that. If you want to look them up, Wim Hof has an app. It's a free app. It helps you with the breathing. It measures your progress, and I found that to be really helpful to see how the pattern of my lung capacity just increasing more and more each day. I did find that on the day that I was super triggered, it was smaller. I did not make progress that day. In fact, I lost progress. It was interesting to me. But check that out. And there's just a lot of information out there about him. His methods are scientifically sound. He says, you know, and I've also found that getting into a meditative state after doing that breathing has been so much more effective for me, easier and better. And he makes a case for that, and he says it's really not mystical. It just it's all about chemicals. So check that out. I really would recommend it to anyone, not just people who are struggling with mental health issues, but anyone. It's good for weight loss and, you know, immune disorders, and also building general immunity. I have a little funny tale to tell on that, since everything's so, I don't know, I feel like I'm being kind of heavy right now, but Finney and I, I'd seen some disturbing news about coronavirus and some other things, and I was telling Finney about it on his day off. I think it was on Monday, and I was like, I feel like I'm not a very good mom for telling you this alarming stuff, but I just have to tell somebody. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to really scare you, am I? And he was like, yeah, I'm not really too troubled. But I was like, but Finney, this is why we have to keep doing the Wim Hof breathing. We have got to go out and run in the cold, and because honestly, you know, we need to be tougher. We need to toughen up, because if you know, things are going to get into a crisis level for humanity, we've got to do all that we can to be as tough and physically and mentally strong as possible. And he was like, yeah. And we're like, we're revving each other up to go out for a run in this cold weather. And honestly, when we're sitting in our living room and the sun was shining, it all seemed quite achievable. And we were stoked. And then we got to the woods and we sat in front, you know, sort of on the outskirts of the woods, and there was this really bleak scene. It was just, there it was dark, and the sun had moved behind clouds, and it was just like these stark trees, lots of them were fallen, and they were just covered in ice and snow, and the whole thing looked really formidable, and both of us just sat in silence, staring straight ahead. It was something like out of a movie of just like stoicism, you know, and dread, and it just did not look inviting. And I turned to him and I was like, do you want to just go and get donuts? Go home? And he was like, yeah. And then we just sat and stared at the woods for a while longer. And I was like, really? And he looked at me and kind of rolled his eyes and opened the door and said, let's go. And it was just, I have him to thank, because I was really spiraling quite badly at that point. And he staved off the spiral for a good another day by having me go on that run. And honestly, it was barely a run. It was more of a kind of like tiptoe, because everything was icy and nasty and everything. But, you know, not every one of these, we're not always rocky. We're not always, you know, like heroic out there. I don't want to like imply that now it's just, you know, we just embrace these. It's always cold to turn on the cold shower. It's always hard. It always takes discipline. I'm always happy I did. And clearly on some days I don't, because Tuesday and Wednesday I did none of those things. Okay. What else? Oh, I must add that I have in, you know, since turning 44, and there's been no conscious effort to do this. I've just been sort of doing something with a friend of mine who's much younger, and she's been like, she asked me if I would go to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with her because she was interested in it and she knew I'd been. So I've been doing that with her. And then she also had signed up for pole dancing and wanted me to be her partner, you know, pole dancing for fitness. And that is a hell of a workout. And there's a family joke that I want to let you in on, which is all about mommy's delicate lower legs, because I don't like even my lower legs to be touched. I don't like my shins and my calves to be touched, even by somebody doing a pedicure. I don't like a massage there. I don't like anybody so much as look at them, because there's so much nerve activity in them. They're so sensitive. So the kids all speak of my mommy's delicate lower legs as if I'm just a very fragile Victorian woman. And pole dancing is honestly all about the shin up on this metal pole, which is my nightmare. And I expected to just, when I discovered that shortly after we got there, I was like, well, this is going nowhere for me, because I just can't even tolerate that. Like, I have a high pain threshold, but that's sort of like my Achilles heel in terms of pain management. But I found that the breathing really helped me to do that. And the breathing also helped me to get over my mental blocks. The things I told myself are about not having upper body strength or not having sufficient core strength or whatever. And I made a real amount of progress on something that I honestly thought would just be hilariously funny, because it was so out of my comfort zone. And I'm looking now, and I'm reminded right now to tell you about this, because I'm looking at this huge bruise on my shin where the pole goes. And I'm noticing that I told my friend during the whole experience, you know, we were like, whoa, this is tough. This is tough. The last week we went on Monday evening, and I was like, we are going to have to take so much ibuprofen tonight, because it is going to hurt. And honestly, it hasn't. None of the things I've been doing have been turning up days later in pain and muscle soreness. That delayed onset muscle soreness is not happening for me. And I think that it has everything to do with the breathing. I really do think that that helps to flush out the lactic acid, and that helps to, you know, repair the muscles that much quicker. So on a physical basis, apart from, you know, anything, it's helping me with the pole dancing. And you know what? I'm not I'm not looking for another job as a stripper or an exotic dancer, but and so, you know, pole dancing is really for fitness, but it is it's something just really fun and entertaining, and an incredible workout that I would actually recommend if it's something that you're interested in and your area offers it. Go for it, go do it. It's been a very non-intimidating atmosphere, and women of all shapes and sizes, and it's been a lot of fun. Okay, so one more thing that I've really been reluctant to kind of put out there, but I feel like that's not fair if I don't. It's not fair, and I might be letting down the people who want me to. So without further ado, you can see that this is really off the cuff. This whole podcast is really off the cuff. So I've been reading. Let me just put myself out there that I get really skeptical about people. I don't know why. I don't know why, because I'm a really spiritual person, and I'm also somebody who looks for signs and meanings in everything. But I've always gotten really weirdly skeptical about people maintaining that they see signs from the other side or ghosts or spirits, or, and I don't know why. I don't know why I've been that way. It seems really unfair of me as somebody who actively looks for signs or spiritual kind of meaning in things. And I've always seen signs and spiritual meaning. And, you know, I'm all about the analogies, which is kind of, you know, part of that whole mindset. And, you know, seeing something and, some, you know, seeing meaning in things that mean, you know. Okay, I can't even talk today, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I was looking for an Audible read, and for some reason, the book Signs came up. I don't even know who the author is, but if you go on Amazon, look for Signs or Spiritual Signs or From the Afterlife or whatever, and you'll see it. It's got a blue cover, and maybe the fact that there was a dragonfly on the front, along with a couple of other kind of drawings, attracted my attention. I'm not sure. But I do know that when I started to have more of a spiritual awakening and soften myself to spirituality again this summer, I was finding myself to be frequently dive bombed by big dragonflies. And I started to see dragonflies everywhere in my path, big, beautiful dragonflies just lying in my path, allowing me to pick them up and put them on a tree and photograph them. And then when I'd sit on my roof, there were dragonflies dancing around me, and two particularly like big ones were swooping around me and around me and around me, to the extent that my husband was like, "Whoa, what is going on?" And then I looked up, what does dragonflies mean? And I guess they're spiritual messengers. So I guess I saw this thing and I was like, oh, dragonflies. Well, maybe that's what led me to download this book. And I have to say, you know, the author is not necessarily my cup of tea. She speaks in a really maybe too saccharine way for me, but whatever. She might be just what I needed and what other people need. I'm not going to criticize her at all, because she does really valuable work and she brings comfort to a lot of people. But I listened to her book for a while with interest about how the other side communicates with us, people who have crossed over to the other side. And I do believe that the veil between living and dead thins often. And I do believe that I've had communication. Well, I know that I've had communication during particularly difficult times. I felt a sense of comfort, and I interpreted that as my grandmother, and I believe that she came to me in a form of light. And when my friend died in December, I do believe that I got messages from her, both in light and through deer. And I was particularly taken by one chapter, which was called Dragonflies and Deer in this book. So anyway, I kind of started to buy into it. And one of the things, and I really enjoyed listening to it, I still haven't finished listening to it, but one of the things that I did sort of go, okay, you know what, this doesn't resonate, because I'm still so critical. You know, why are we so critical? Why are we so like, Why do we always want to make less of something that is comforting to us? Why do we always want to question it? I don't know why we do this. Why can't we just take comfort where we find it and just let it be that? I don't know why we do this. I don't know. I don't know why I do this. But when she had people talking about coins a lot, I was like, you know, but coins, I mean, unless you are, you know, in Africa where there aren't a lot of coins just lying around. Especially in the United States, it seems like coins are all over the place. I see coins all the time. Like, coins are everywhere. Every time I pick up my husband's pants, coins fall out and they make me swear and I get really angry about it. I was like, coins, come on. No, coins are not a sign from the other side, which is really unfair because a lot of people consider coins to be a message from the other side, but I was particularly skeptical about coins. And so I think it was Monday. Yeah, Monday. I was struggling, starting to feel really down. And I went to an event with my daughter, my lovely daughter, Caroline. We had to go. We didn't have to go. We got to go to a reception at the university for the recipients of one of the scholarships she received. And it was beautiful. And she and I had a lovely time together, but I still felt a huge sense of darkness and heaviness and just this really encroaching sense of anxiety. And I could feel like, you know, this PTSD spiral just wouldn't stop, just wouldn't sort of go away. I did some Wim Hof breathing. It really took care of it for a nice length of time that I was able to be productive. Did not meditate though. And I was just feeling just struggling. And she is somebody who's highly efficient, diligent, and is always busy. She's always got something going on. And she was actually driving back from this, back from the university. She already had a million things on her to-do list. And we were almost home and she was parking and she said, you know what? I need paper clips. Do we have any at home? And I said, I wouldn't bet on it. If we do, I really don't know where they are. She was like, I need paper clips because I'm applying for more scholarships and paper clips I must have. And she kind of laughed and turned the car around and we both chuckled about it because she did this big dramatic like swerve. And I was like, I don't even know where to go for paper clips right around here. Like maybe try, we were like, maybe try Big Lots, but we, neither of us were sure. And so we were just kind of laughing to each other at how like dramatic and how she had to have them right this moment, you know, and how she had turned the car around. And it was just so silly because she really did not need a paperclip right that second. She didn't. But we decided to give Big Lots a shot because you never know what you're going to find there. So we walk into Big Lots and she goes down this aisle and I'm like, why is she going down that aisle? That's a food aisle, right? And she walked directly and she stopped. Like she was three or four steps in front of me and she stopped and said, oh, Mom, come and look at this. And I looked down and my eyes immediately just started welling up because that day I had thought to myself, you know, it would be really nice if I could get a sign from my granny. Since I'm feeling so inexplicably horrible, I would like another sign from my granny, just a comforting sign. And I'd even started to experiment with the idea of getting to know my late father, because one of the things this woman had talked about was how she'd have a really difficult relationship with her father. He was not a great communicator. And in his passing, he had found ways to communicate with her that was that were really meaningful. And she felt that their relationship was actually stronger and better since he had passed. And I was like, that's a lovely idea. And since I did not get to have a relationship or much of one with my father in this lifetime, and I've really missed that, as you know, I've come to grips with exactly how non-fatherly my relationship with my stepfather was and really come to accept how toxic and terrible that actually was. I've wished a lot and felt sadness about my lack of father in my life. And so I sort of thought I would love to get a message from either my granny or my father, who is her son. And that would be so nice. And so I stopped and looked at what Caroline said. Oh, Mom, look how sweet this is. And it was a little piece of paper and it had writing on it that looked like Ella's writing. It was like my little girl.
and it said, be happy on it. And there was a little coin, a penny, and it said, keep me. And I just got a really happy sense of being seen and taken care of. And I'm so lucky that in my life there are so many people who do acknowledge me and give me love. And I have more than my fair share of that in my life. And I'm so lucky and so grateful for it. But it was just, I don't know, it reached me in a completely different way. It touched me in a way that was profoundly comforting. I don't believe that if Caroline hadn't have seen it, I would have seen it. I think she was part of it. And she was so touched by it herself, and we both decided to immediately make another coin for somebody else who needed a sign, and we left it for them. And I do have faith that whoever needed to find it did find it that day. And I'm becoming so much more taken with the idea of the other side communicating with us and spiritual messengers and the universe really conspiring to support us and to make us feel held and to support us in the good work that we want to do. And so that felt like a sacred experience, and I did feel moved to share it on social media. And I feel moved to share it today on my podcast. And I also had another experience yesterday when I was really in the depths of it. I'd slept all day as a coping mechanism. And again, I do feel really grateful that I am allowed to have that kind of rest. PTSD is exhausting, and my go-to is to physically shut down. And I'm so lucky that I get to do that if I need to. And I did start to briefly come out of it, you know, just sort of like I felt it lift a bit. So immediately the moment I felt it start to lift, I know not to question that. I know to capitalize on that. So I came downstairs and I had some, I'd found on Monday, some, I don't quite know how it's pronounced, but I want to say Palo Santo wood, which smells lovely. And the girl I do the pole dancing with is also my yoga instructor. And she told me that they use it at the yoga studio, and it always smells so peaceful and welcoming. And then I actually looked up about that wood, and it's said to, you know, dispel negative energy and invite good energy in. And I'm like, whatever works, man, I'm here for it. I'll do whatever. And so I lit a stick of it, and I noticed that the wood in the beam of sunlight was the smoke was acting so pretty. It was like making such beautiful designs in the air. It was just like not just, you know, sort of doing regular smoke things. It was like curling and swirling, and it was so pretty, and it was in this light. And there were our little crayon stained glass hearts that we've made over the years for Valentine's Day hanging. And I snapped a picture because the smoke was so, it was just acting so unusually pretty and picturesque that I took a photo, and I was like, this is beautiful. I just really enjoy it. And then I was later flipping through those pictures last night, feeling kind of sad again. And I got the feeling, look at that picture that you took again. Just look at it again. There's a message in that smoke for you. And I was like, girl, you are reaching. But then I was like, why not? Like, stop second guessing it. If your granny wants to help you, like, help her help you. If she wants to show you are loved, you deserve it. And she deserves it. And if she's whispering in your ear, or somebody's whispering in your ear, anyone, to take another look, then give it a shot. And I looked and I looked and I looked. And then suddenly it became clear to me. I saw letters in the picture of the smoke, and they said love. And I was amazed. And I was like, am I just imagining this? Because we imagine things a lot. You know, we see, and that is scientifically proven, that we see what we want to see. And I'm like, well, I see that, and it makes me feel good. And I just felt really peaceful that it was there. But I took I took a screenshot of the photo, and I sent it to my daughter, who was at work. And I said, do you see a word in that smoke picture? And she said, I see the word love immediately. She did not even hesitate. She said, I see the word love. And then I sent it to my husband, and he was working at the gym. And I said, do you see a letter? Do you see words in that smoke, a word in that smoke? And he said, I see love. Within moments, he returned. And I don't know. Maybe nobody else will. I mean, I actually did show it to a couple of other people who didn't immediately see it. But my husband and my daughter saw it way faster than I did. And I just was like, wow, beautiful. So, you know, I'm a convert. If you need more love in your life, or you feel like you need to know that the universe does have your back, to steal a phrase from Gabrielle Bernstein, ask it to show you, and then look. Now that I'm talking about this, it doesn't seem like weird, and I really felt protective and almost embarrassed and ashamed, and like, I'm going to turn people off and people are going to think I'm crazy. And then I'm like, well, what if, you know, there you go. What if they just need to hear this, and I've got to get out of my own way? Wayne Dyer, or quote somebody, or maybe he has... maybe he came up with the phrase that ego means edging God out. And whatever your perception of God or the source of goodness or benevolence or the universe or power is, I do believe that ego does get in our way. And, you know, I've tried to tell guests on my podcast when they're like, well, I don't want people to think I'm this or I'm that. I'm like, you know what? I've invited you because I think that people can help you. So don't worry about how you sound. Just give your message. And because when we get in our own way and we worry about how we're perceived or how it will make us look, that's ego, and it's edging God out. And so I'm trying really hard to get out of the way of the message and not to worry about people who might think I'm crazy or reaching, or she's really gone now. She's no longer credible, all that stuff. Like, that is of no concern to me. I just have to do, I am a messenger. And I did get a really distinct impression during one of my meditations. Christy, just share. Share what's working for you, share what's hard, and share what's good. And I'm resolved to do that. In closing, I want to tell you another little thing. A couple of these things that I've shared with you have overlapped what I've already shared on other places in social media, but I know that I have very different audiences and only a couple see all of it. But Ella, yesterday I was so sad that I could barely even speak to Ella in the morning. And I think, and I know she noticed. I mean, I was kind and cordial, but I just was having so much difficulty with even talking. And and honestly, it reminded me how hard it was so much of the time, and how frequently triggered I was when I was raising my other kids. It really reminded me of that, and I feel really sad about that, and sad for them at how often they had to deal with me in that state, and how hard it was to mother and live in that condition. It's really tough. It is very tough to deal with PTSD and life. And so it really reminded me of how grateful I am for the healing, and how real the healing is, how profoundly real. And so maybe I always have those setbacks to remind me of the contrast and how far I've come. But anyway, I think she probably picked up on it. But she got in the car yesterday after school, and when I was feeling quite a bit better, I was, you know, starting to lift, and she said to me, which is uncharacteristic of her, I must say, she said, hello, mommy, and how was your day today? And I said, well, thank you for asking, Ella. To be honest, I kind of paused, and then I thought, I'm going to be really real with her, because she needs to know, and I think she probably sensed. And I said, to be honest, I've had a very hard day. I was very sad, and I spent most of the day sleeping, because being awake was just really hard. It was just really hard. I felt just too sad to be awake. But I'm starting to feel better now. And she said, why do you feel sad? And I said, well, there's lots of things that were making me
said, I suspect some things were just reminding me of pain that I've experienced. And, you know, everybody goes through different experiences and we all process it differently. And then we explained, you know, we started to talk about how different people's perceptions of the same things can create conflict in life. And she volunteered, you know, I've really started to think a lot, Mommy, about how bullies are just trying so hard to pretend that everything's okay in their hearts. And they kind of let it out on everybody else. They're trying so hard to pretend that everything's okay. They're trying hard to pretend that they're not sad. And so they take it out on other people. And I said, absolutely. And I said, sometimes that's why I just go to bed, so that I don't do that, so that I don't have to deal with my pain and also be mean to other people. And so we had a really beautiful conversation that didn't last more than 5 minutes. She wasn't into it for very long. It's deep and heavy. And then we went on and I was like, gosh, you know, we need to destigmatize all kinds of things with our kids and start with, if you're having a bad day and you felt really depressed, tell your kids so. I remember one of the most validating, comforting things my mom ever did for me was after we moved to Swaziland, I think I've spoken about this, I was desperately, desperately having a hard time. I was really dealing with the reality of the fact that I was being sexually abused. I did not know what to say or who to tell. I suspected my mom suspected, and that was horrifying to me. I didn't want her to suspect it. I didn't want my family to fall apart. It was just a terrifying, scary time. And I was also 15, 16, desperately missing my friends, everything that I knew. And one day she said, how are you doing? Or I just said, I'm so lonely. I'm so homesick. This is so hard. And my mom said, and she was usually just a rallying person. No, let's make the most of this. And she said, me too, and started to cry. And I remember how comforting that was. And I've tried really hard to be upfront with my kids over when things are hard and to let them know that it's okay to express those hard feelings. But I was especially intentional about it yesterday because I didn't particularly want to talk about anything yesterday. So I just want to encourage you that if you are going through hard times, you know, model to your kids that it's okay to talk to about it. It's really important. They don't, you know, they're not served by you always being strong. Of course, we have to buck up sometimes and we have to push forward. And and do things. I'm fully aware of that, trust me, you know. But we can also talk about it. We can also talk about it in our own way, you know, whatever feels right to you. You know, your style may be different from my style, but it's important. It's important to model talking about mental illness or down days just the same way we would talk about having the flu, just exactly the same way. If you're feeling particularly sad and it's a hard day, be as open with your kids as you would be about having a migraine, or you would be about having, you know, a stomach ache, because that's how we destigmatize this, and this is how we get help, and this is how we feel less lonely. So I guess that's my theme today. Let's be real with each other. Let's share what's working, what's not working. I'm so grateful for the resources that keep becoming available to me to get better and better, to feel more and more supported, to feel stronger, to access more physical healing, more mental healing, more community healing and support. This just, it's limitless. And I want to be part of that. I want to be part of promoting that and passing it on and carrying it forward. And so if there's anything here that resonates with you, please share this podcast. I also want to give a plug for a podcast that really helps me. I did in my last episode, and I'll do it again. Awesome with Allison. I think it's Allison with one L, and the Allison Show. She's doing really good work, and she's somebody who's extremely transparent with her struggles. She's awesome, and I really admire her, and I think she could do with support right now. She's a lot more successful than I am, but I think she's struggling right now feeling that way. And so I would really like to put in a plug for her today. So with that, I shall end this. I'm really glad I got a chance to tell all these things. I guess those other two episodes were not meant to work out this week for a reason, but they will see the light of day. I have faith that they will. Thank you as always. Reach out to me with any comments, suggestions. I always truly value your input. One more thing. I wanted to tell you about on my birthday, I got so many lovely, meaningful messages, but one that's really sticking in my mind right now, and I feel impressed to talk to you about it, was from a young friend of mine. She's, I've known her for most of her childhood, her teenagehood, and she doesn't ever say a lot to me in person, but she reached out and said, "Happy birthday, Mrs. Sayer. I just want to tell you that, I am so grateful to you for sharing so openly about your struggles with mental health. And I was thinking maybe I wouldn't have kids, and she's somebody who really loves kids and I believe would be a really excellent mom because I've struggled so much with anxiety and depression." I'm really paraphrasing, and of course I will keep her name to myself, but you've modeled that it's okay and you can still raise children and be a good mom even if you struggle in this way. And so that was really touching to me because one of my greatest insecurities has been, how has this affected my kids? My kids are so inspiring to me, the way that they have leveraged the hardship of having a mom who struggled with complex PTSD into something that has made them really kind and sensitive and empowered to ask for help. And they have been incredibly helpful to their siblings and to their friends, and have really just taken that significant trial in their lives and turned it into a strength. I'm so grateful to them, and they are my examples in this. And so I really, really do cherish that. Gosh, I am emotional today, which is good. We're not apologizing for emotion anymore. But I really, really appreciated that validation. And I'm not fishing for more validation. I'm just telling you that that kind of thing means a lot. When we all talk about how vulnerability helps, we need to boost that signal. We need to boost that signal. Vulnerability is courage. Vulnerability is valuable. And I really encourage you to continue to be vulnerable and to continue to be brave in that way. And that is how we are going to change the world for our kids and make it a safer, warmer, and just happier place to live. Thank you so much for your support. And with that, I really will end. Take care, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.